I'd just like to share very briefly a couple of scriptures, because it's good to put the Bible in. You know, it's good to put the Bible in, because with the Word of God, we need to understand that what God is doing today is not detached from the Word of God. It's not detached from His purposes and His plans now and into eternity. I'd just like to share just very, very briefly a couple of scriptures with you. It's interesting when you look at the Word of God and how there's like great vast themes, and there's other themes that carry on. And sometimes what happens is we miss the big picture and we get focused on the little things. It's like if you can imagine a river, you can focus on the river and follow the river, or you can get distracted by a little stream that's going off the river. And so what I'd like to talk about just very quickly is the big stream, the big river that God has for us in this day, in this age. So when you consider the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis, it says in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 10, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us?" So the creation of the world at the very, very beginning in the book of Genesis, when it says God created, what was in his heart when he was creating? I have 5 children, and you can get the 5 children to do the same activity, but their heart towards it is very different. For example, when I wash the dishes at home, which is very frequently, my goal is to get those dishes clean. And so I wash the dishes, and at the end of the process, they're clean. A particular child of mine, when that particular child washes the dishes, the goal is not to get the dishes clean, but to get the job done as quick as possible. You see? So it's the same activity, but the heart is different. So when God created the world, what was his heart? Because we know the activity was the creation. What was in his heart when he did it? This verse tells us, "Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us?" And so the creation of everything is an expression of his Father's heart. You see? So everything we see around you, around us, is a reflection of a Father's heart. Now, I know we've had the fall, and so it's not a perfect representation, but there's still enough there to show a Father's heart towards us. It says further down in Malachi chapter 1, "And did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? Because he seeks godly offspring." So what he's after in all of this is godly offspring. He wants to create family. He wants to create family. It's interesting when you look in Luke chapter 3, when it talks about the genealogy and coming backwards through the genealogy and finishing with Adam, it says, coming through the genealogy, "The son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God." So Adam is called the son of God. Not in the same way Jesus is the son of God, the only begotten of the Father. We must remember that God is the creator and we are the created. But understanding that dynamic, God calls Adam a son. So when God was creating Adam, thinking about my analogy of the kitchen sink again, he was doing the activity of creating a person, but what was in his heart when he did it? In his heart, in his mind, he was creating a son. You see, he was creating someone he could relate to as a father relates to his son, or a father relates to a daughter. And that was what is behind our creation for all of us here today. Despite our backgrounds, despite our relationships with our human mums and dads and all the rest of it, God's intention is to have godly offspring. His intention is to produce in us a son and to produce in us a daughter. And that's right back at the very beginning of the Bible, because God gets things right the first time. You see, we try something and we think, oh, well, we'll do it another way next time around. But God gets it right the first time, and so his plan has never changed. The fall has kind of confused things and complicated things, but when Jesus came and died for us on the cross, it all came back to the same plan. So it says in Genesis 1, Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female. Then God blessed them and said, let them be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Now usually in that we see two steps. We see creation and we see commission. God created and then God put the human race, Adam and Eve, to work. And so we see that in two steps. And that translates into our understanding of the Christian life. You get somebody saved, so what do you then do with that person? Well, you get them busy. And so they get involved in the church, they start coming along to meetings, and if they start going to midweek meeting, and if they start getting involved in helping the church run, we think, praise God. We have a convert who's come through the full process. They're involved in the church and they're busy and they're doing stuff and they're helping out. Now, all of those things are vital and important. We need our meetings and we need helpers and we need to be able to work together and cooperate. And so we think of it in two steps. We get a person saved and we go through a little checklist, and if they get busy in certain ways, we think, well, good, that's the finish of the process. But the problem with that is that what's mentioned here is not two steps, but three. It's creation in verse 27, God created man in his own image, and then it says, then God blessed them. And so that's the missing step, connection. When God created Adam, the first thing he did was connect in relationship with him. And the nature of that connection was blessing. You see? And then came the commission, be fruitful and multiply. So three steps, not two. So we need to understand that when we enter into the Christian faith, the first step is not being busy, the first step is being connected. What would the body of Christ be if all the Christians were connected? You see? Rather than having the goal being busy. Now, being busy is good. Being productive is good. I'm not saying we should all be lying out at the beach and spending our lives under an umbrella. But we need to have the right foundation from which to be busy. And that foundation is connection. And so when you come into the New Testament, you just see a continuation of this same principle. For example, in John chapter 1, talking about becoming a Christian, it says in verse 12, but as many as received Jesus, to them he gave them the right to become the children of God, even those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the goal when you become a Christian, what you're entering into is you're becoming a son, or you're becoming a daughter in the kingdom of God. So it's just a building on the book of Genesis. And so this is very, very straightforward and very, very obvious in a sense. But I mean, I've been a Christian now for over 30 years. And we live in a day and an age where the heart of the Father is being revealed to his people. And so we're seeing a whole new coming of depth into our Christian experience. And so I say to you today, embrace it. My thinking in my own life is, how could I have read my Bible, been a Christian, gone to church for over 30 years and missed this? You see? And what if all of this was happening when I first became a Christian? Where would I be today? But you can't really think like that. You've got to live in the now. So I encourage you to embrace the Father's heart. I encourage you to embrace your sonship and your daughtership in his sight. Because when we get to the end, when you come through to the book of Revelation, we see what we're left with when everything else falls away. Revelation 21, we have the new heavens and the new earth. So when you think about it, in life today we have many, many differences. Like, we're different heights, we're different shapes, we're different colours, we have different incomes, we live in different places, we have different experiences. All that sort of thing. We're very, very different people. And we're labelled in different ways according to society. We have a tax number. What are we going to be when all of these things fall away in the life to come? What are we going to be? The Revelation 21 tells us. It talks about the new heavens and the new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down. Verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And the Father says in verse 5, I make all things new. says in verse 6, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" And then after all of this magnificent change that really takes what is in the book of Genesis and just creates a new Genesis. When you have the first Genesis, the first creation, it ends with a son, it ends with a daughter. And so when you have the new creation, this is what it says. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." You see? Yeah. So the eternal state of our existence, when everything else falls away from this world, what are you left with? When all of these exterior things, all of these superficial things are gone from our lives, what is left? A son and a daughter, you see, into eternity. If that is true, then how should we be living now? You see, how should we be living now? And so we're in a new day, a new age with a new focus, but it's not a strange path. It's not a distraction. It's not a veering off. It's the main river. This is the main river that was established in the book of Genesis. The creation of godly offspring. And you are in this flow and you are part of this. And today, if you have heart issues regarding these areas, then I encourage you to come forward for prayer in a few minutes. If you want to have a greater understanding of what it is to be a son and what it is to be a daughter and to relate to God that way, then you come forward and have some prayer. If you want to go forward in your giftings, because part of being a son and a daughter is to have an inheritance. God has an inheritance for you. Some of you have entered into that inheritance. Some of you, it's like you're standing over here, and how do I step in to what God has for me in my inheritance? Today is your step forward into that inheritance. So I encourage you to go for the main thing. The main thing in the name of Jesus.